Today I'd like to look very briefly as I am able to talk about another dedication in the Bible, the dedication of Jesus himself. And Tim and Karen asked me to talk about who Jesus is, what Jesus means to them, what Jesus means to us as a church. And I'm going to try and explain it through the life of Jesus as quickly as I can and effectively as I can. But we're going to start by reading Luke chapter 2, 21, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and he blessed him. Mary and Joseph were very devout Jews. They loved God. It says about them that they were righteous, that they were people that served God with all their heart. They were very poor people. They had very little, but what they had, they always honored God with, and they served God. And in Jewish law, what would happen is, if it was a boy that was born, at 8 days, the boy would be taken to a special service and he would be circumcised and he would be dedicated to God. But something else would happen on that day. If you were a boy, they would name the child. No one would know what they were calling the child. When the father pronounced the name of the child, that would be the first time people heard it. And so on this occasion, Joseph and Mary would come, and Joseph would declare, "The name of our child is Jesus." And people would wonder why they would call him Jesus. What's the connection to the family? Now, if we go back to the Christmas story that we know, this is what happened. Mary was a young lady betrothed to Joseph. They weren't yet married. And Mary's about her business every day, and she's doing whatever she does, and suddenly an angel appears. Not an everyday occurrence. If an angel appeared right now here today, I'm pretty sure we would have gone, "That's a bit different." She's a young girl, betrothed to be a man, betrothed to a man. And an angel appears and says, "Behold, Mary, you have been chosen by God above all women. You are more favored above everybody else. You've been chosen by God, and the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you will conceive and give birth to a child." Now, Tim is the father of Florence. Karen is the mother. The mother of Jesus was Mary, but the father of Jesus is not Joseph. It is God. The presence of God, the Spirit of God comes upon her. It's an immaculate conception, and she conceives, and she gets pregnant by God. And there's a reason for this. And Joseph finds out about it. He's pretty mad. He doesn't believe this young girl that he's madly in love with has conceived a child from God. So he goes, "You know what, Mary? I love you so much and I want to do the right thing, but I'm going to divorce you." And then the same angel appears to Joseph and said, Joseph, you don't need to worry about it, mate. Child's mine. I just need you to bring up this child. Take care of this child for me. And such a man of God he was, he obeyed God. He listened to what God said. He didn't have any sexual relationships with her. He took her to be his wife. And they gave, or she gave birth to this promise from God. First of all, I want you to know Jesus is the promised Messiah, the anointed one by God to this world. I want to say this to you. When God makes a promise, he always keeps his promise. I sometimes let people down. You do. We've always made promises that we've let people down, haven't we? God never does. And so Joseph, this righteous man, this man who wants to please God, comes and he announces this child will be called Jesus. In the Old Testament, it talks about Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us, the one who will save people from their sins. This is the Jesus that has been dedicated to in the temple back to God. Now also, if you were a male and you were the firstborn male, which Jesus was, 40 days later from the birth, you had to go to the temple and bring an offering. So you'd, because they were poor, they would bring an offering of turtle doves. And those would be sacrificed and to thank God for the birth of this child. And so Mary and Joseph travel to Jerusalem with Jesus and they bring the firstborn son in obedience to the law and they offer him back to God. This is very much what Tim and Karen have done today. It's a bit later than 40 days, but this is what they've done. And the Bible tells us that this man called Simeon, who was He was a devout man of God. He was a righteous man of God. Righteousness was accredited to him in those days. If you were a righteous person, it was because you believed that God was going to send the Messiah, and you believed the Messiah was going to come and to save the people from their sins. And God speaks to Simeon and God makes this man a promise and says, before you die, you are going to see the anointed one. You're going to see the promised one, the one that I have set apart to save both Jew and Gentile. That's why today I don't think there's many Jews here. There might be a few. But that's why salvation comes not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And I thank God for that, that I'm included. And you're included too. And so this man of God, he hears from God. I don't know how he hears from God, but he hears from God. And God says, before you die. Now, we don't know how long he's going about his business, but he faithfully served in the temple in Jerusalem, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. And he's faithfully waiting for the day when God will fulfill the promise of Jesus, the Messiah, coming, and he will see it with his own eyes. So he's about his everyday business. And God says to him, Simeon, today's the day. Simeon, you need to go to the temple because today is the day I'm going to fulfill the promise to you. So he leaves whatever he's doing. He goes to the temple and he hears footsteps and he sees a man and a woman and a child coming towards I wonder what would have happened if he hadn't have obeyed God's voice that day. I wonder what would have happened if he said, no, God, I'm too tired to go to church today. I've had a bad night. I've not slept all night. Had an argument with my wife. He'd have missed that one day, that one divine moment, that one point throughout history to meet the chosen one. But because of the man of God he was, in obedience he went. He sees the family coming, and this is what happens. Let's pick it up from verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all the people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel. See, this man's faith had been honoured by God. He had to wait for something to happen. He believed God was going to provide an answer for his people. In those days, there was a great expectation that the Messiah, the chosen one, would come. He's waiting in anticipation, in expectation for this Messiah to arrive on this earth. And when he sees Mary and Joseph and Jesus, he knows this is the answer that he's been looking for. He applies faith into a situation that one day God will provide the answer. One day the Saviour will come and his faith is honoured and God keeps his promise. I want to say to you today, if you want to know what faith is believing what God has said. Faith is believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Faith is believing that Jesus came, he left heaven, he came on this earth as the Son of God to take on a form like you and I, to understand what it means to be a child, a person living on this earth. He experienced joy, he experienced pain, he experienced all kinds of emotions that you and I have. Jesus had to experience everything you and I experienced so that he could identify with us. He had to grow up in school. He had all the difficulties that people face every day. He came very much to identify with us, but he came for a bigger purpose than that. Faith is believing that Jesus, first of all, is the Son of God, that he came to this earth for a purpose. And so Simeon takes this child in his arms, a little bit like I did today, and he prophesied over the life of Jesus. He prophesied over Mary. And he starts to tell them what's going to happen to Jesus. He starts to tell them that Jesus is going to die. He starts to tell Mary that a sword will pierce her own heart. He starts to foretell the purpose of Jesus Christ, who is a light to the world. Jesus said these words, "I am the light of the world." Who will come and he will divide the nation of Israel. How will he divide them? He will divide them because some people will believe he is the Son of God and some people will not believe. And today we live in a society, in a world where some people say, "Yes, I wholehearted 100% will live for Jesus and die for Jesus." And some people will say, "No, I do not believe he is the Son of God." And we live in a day and age where we make choices every day. And he foretells that Jesus will die a very painful death. Now, last week we celebrated Easter on Sunday. We celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. But on Good Friday, we celebrated the death of Jesus. And we won't go into all the whole story because there may be some children in here and I don't want them to go through the graphic details of Jesus' death. But Jesus, who is the Son of God, let me say to you straight away, allowed sinful man to take him and bind his hands and to lead him away. Jesus, Son of God, could have stopped at any time. He chose not to. He chose not to because he loves us so much. He allowed sinful man to come and bind him and take him away. He was taken for a false trial. They could find no evidence against him, so they made it up. He had a series of false trials. He was then beaten. He was spat upon. He had the hair ripped out of his face. He had his back ripped open. Many men would have died under the torture of the Roman people. Why did he do that? Very simply because he loves you and me. Because he loves you and me so much that he chose to take that punishment for us. This is why we love Jesus. This is why I unashamedly serve Jesus, because of what he's done for me. And so Jesus is taken, he's put on this cruel cross. I, I don't want to go into details there, but you know that the crucifixion is an awful way to die. It's a terrible way to die. And Jesus is on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. I just don't understand. But then he says, as he dies on the cross, it is finished. And what happens on that cross is our sins, your sin, my sin, all the bad things that we've done, all the things that separate us from God, all the lies, all the murder, all the thoughts that we have, even for our generation now, years after the death, are placed upon Jesus. And he takes on the sins of the whole world. See, only the Son of God could do that. He was only strong enough to do that. I couldn't do it. I tell you what, for some of you in this room, I wouldn't die for you because I don't know you. But he did. Took the whole of the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders for a reason. He did it so that we might be forgiven our sins and we might be restored to the Father and have a hope in the future today, forever. Do you know anybody that loves you enough that would do that? Jesus loves you enough. The fact is that Jesus is not in a tomb. If he was in a tomb, then basically all that we believe is hopeless. 3 days later, God the Father looks upon the Son and says, come on, Son, it's time. It's time to show the world you really are my Son. It's time to show the world who you are and to prove it. Let's be raised from the dead. He appears to so many people. And the whole world has been changed because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Millions of people believe on Jesus Christ today. 70-odd thousand people today will choose to follow Jesus because they understand who he is and what he's done. Jesus truly is the Saviour of the world. You know, Mary and Joseph must have had an interesting life bringing up the Son of God. Can we tell him off or not? A thunderbolt from heaven. God allowed his own son to be brought up by human parents that make mistakes. And as he grew up, they learnt things about him. But when Simeon prophesied over Jesus and over Mary, this is what it said. Let's have a look at the verse. In verse 33. The child's father and mother marvelled about what was said about him. Do you know, they didn't fully understand and fully grasp who Jesus really was. They didn't know everything about him. And today I'm learning every day more about Jesus. I'm amazed about what Jesus can do. I'm amazed about the way he fulfills prophecy every day. I'm amazed of his love towards people and towards me when I make mistakes. And she's amazed about this prophetic message. Today is about choices. Life is about choices. We can either believe that Jesus is the Son of God and say, Lord Jesus, I accept you're the Son of God and I want you to be in my life. I want you to be part of my life from today forward. I want to know you. I want to understand who you are. I want to learn really more about you. I want to put my trust in you and I want my sins to be forgiven. I want my sins to be paid in full. And life's about choices. I'm going to talk about another promise in a minute. I'd just like you to think about that for a minute. It might be today that you don't know him. It might be today that you've never really given him a thought. Maybe today the only time you use the name Jesus is if you swear. Maybe you don't. At this point, I've not even cared who he is. I want to say to you today, there is a divine appointment for you today where you can get to know him. Let's look at a scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. In the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you this. Would you mind reading this together with me? Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. There are times in history that God has appointed that will happen once. Jesus had a day when he was born. He had a day when he would die. He had a day when he was resurrected. There was a day when he ascended from this earth to the right hand of the Father. There are appointed days and appointed times. And this isn't a mistake today that Karen and Tim have dedicated Flojo in this place. There is a purpose and a plan in everything that God does. Let me tell you, God's plans are amazing. He leads us gently to a place where we will say yes. And I believe today is one of those moments. You can be like Simeon and believe by faith that Jesus is the promised Saviour. It's faith because none of us were living when Jesus came on this earth. It's faith because we have to believe that he did come and he did die. That's the faith that we place. Once we believe by faith that Jesus is our Saviour, we can have a close relationship with God the Father. And today, when God speaks, he speaks in a still, small voice. When he speaks right into our heart and our life. He says things like, today, will you give your life to me? Today, will you follow me? I'm going to give a bit of a silly illustration, and I'm going to come back. There was this man who heard God say, you're going to become a Christian. He said, I don't want to become a Christian. I'm not interested in becoming a Christian. I don't want to know you, God. This is a story. This isn't real. Okay, it's just an illustration. And God says to him, I want you to become a Christian. And the man goes, I don't want to become a Christian. I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with my lot. What I've chosen, this is good. And God says to him, I want you to become a Christian today. And he gets so fed up that he gets on an aeroplane and goes to Africa. Because he thinks God's not everywhere, you see. Gets off an aeroplane. He's walking through the plains of Africa. He's walking along and God says, hello. And he goes, what are you doing here? I've just got on a plane to get away from you. What do you want? And God says, I want you to become a Christian. And the man says, I don't want to become a Christian. I've told you, I don't want to become a Christian. God says, it's your choice. He says, but I want you to look over your shoulder. And the man looks over his shoulder. He sees a lion running towards him. And God says, if I were you, I'd run. Your choice, but if I were you, I'd leg it. So he's running across the field. He's going, God, 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 help me, God. It's funny how people ask God to help them when they're in trouble, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that? Your real God, show me. I'll tell you what today he'll show you. So he's legging it and saying, God, you've got to help me. And God says, what do you want me to do? He says, make the lion a Christian lion. So God says, okay, I'll make the lion a Christian lion. And he goes, oh, thank you. And the lion comes and knocks him to the floor. And the man cries out to God, God, you said you were going to make this a Christian lion. He says, I have. And the lion puts his paws together and says, for what we are about to receive, make the Lord make us truly thankful. It's a funny story, but you know, some endings don't end well. Another story. A flood comes, and there's a man in the house, and he says, oh, God, God, save me. And this water comes to the first floor, and a man comes in the boat and says, quick, get in the boat now. The flood's coming, and it's going to be flooding. And he goes, no, it's okay, God's going to help me. And the man goes away in the boat. And the flood's coming. He goes up to the second floor in his house, and he's by the window in the second floor, says, God, you've got to help me. God, you've got to help me. As the flood's coming, I'm going to die, you've got to help me. And another man comes in the boat, he says, quick, quick, the floods are coming, you've got to get in the boat, it's going to be your last chance to get in the boat. He says, it's okay, God's going to help me. He gets on the roof, helicopter comes, and floods are coming, and God, he says to God, God, you're going to help me? And this helicopter comes, and the helicopter drops the wind, he says, quick, quick, get in the helicopter. It's your last chance to be saved. And gets in the helicopter. The helicopter says, go away, God's going to help me. Go away, God's going to help me. And the floods come, and he dies, and he comes in front of God, and he says, God, why didn't you help me? He says, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What do you want? The Father has sent the Saviour, Jesus Christ, to help us. He cannot give you anything better. He's given you the most precious gift he can. Tim and Karen will die for Flojo. I would die for my children. You would die for your children because they're precious. God has given you and I his most precious gift. And not only did he give it to him to us, he allowed him to die for us. So much so throughout history, the one point in time, because the sins of the world were placed upon him, and God cannot look upon sin, that's why Jesus had come. His Father turns his face away because he cannot look upon sin. And for the first time throughout history, Jesus is separated from his Father because he loves us. I'm talking to people at the moment that are separated from loved ones for various reasons. We have someone in this fellowship who is separated from their father because they're a Christian. Jesus today willingly chose to die for you and I. God has made a way for our salvation. We do not know what's going to happen today. I am burying people all the time. There are people that have been in our congregation for years. They're no longer with us. There are people that I know that are no longer with us. We do not know when our time on this earth will come to an end. We don't. None of us. We might say, we might be young and think, well, I've got years ahead of me yet. We don't know. We might be 70 and have our 100th birthday. We don't know. None of us know. But there is an appointed time when each of us will face God and give an account for our life. And we're either in or we're out. We're in if we accept Jesus. We're out if we reject him. It is as simple as that. We're going to look at one more promise and then I'm going to finish. Jesus said that he's coming back for his church. Jesus, who is now at the right hand of the Father, who's been raised to the presence of God, the Father, is coming back one day. Like Simeon, we don't know when it's going to be. He hasn't told us. There's not a date in our diary like the 9th of April where we're doing our official opening, where God sends invitations to everybody out and says, we'll have a bring and share in heaven. There is a date in the future where Jesus will return. When he returns, those people that have either died will be transformed and go in his presence, or those that are living will be transformed into his presence and meet him in the air. There is a promise because, as I said to you before, God always keeps his promises. He's promised to send his son, he sent his son. He's promised that his son would die, his son died. He's promised to forgive our sins, he forgives our sins. He's promised one day there will come a time when his son will return and we need to be in the camp. We need to get in the boat. We need to get in the helicopter. We need to be in there when he comes. And we believe, as Christians, that our Lord and Saviour is coming back again. Just like Simeon, we don't know when it's going to be. You see, the Bible tells we'll be going away our everyday business. We'll be at work, we'll be playing with the children, we'll be walking the dog, we'll be doing whatever we normally do. And then God will say, now is the time. And Christians will be called into his presence. And as a church, we're waiting for that day. We're waiting for the day when our Saviour, the one we've put our trust in, the one we believe in, is coming back. Could be today, could be tomorrow. It might be after I pass this earth and go into his presence, but he's coming back. I thank you so much for being here today. I thank you for coming and sharing in Tim and Karen's very special day. I've done this message in a way because it's a response for Tim and Karen have asked me to do. I hope I've shared it in the best way that I can today. But life is about choices. I choose to do this or I choose not to do that. I choose to accept Jesus or I choose to reject him. Ben, would you just come and play for me for a minute? In this church, what we do is we give people the opportunity to say, I would like to know more about Jesus. All we do is give you an invitation and say, would you like to know him? Yes or no? And I'm going to ask in this room today, I'm not going to embarrass you at all in any way, but I'm going to ask everybody just to close their eyes. And if you're in this room today and something that I've said has touched your heart, maybe you're responding to God's voice today. I promise I will not embarrass you. I'm going to ask you to do one thing, and that's just to raise your hand so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? I promise I will not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. The divine appointment for you today. This is the day. He loves you so much. You're precious to him. He wants the best for you. Only the best. You know, God only gives good things. Only good things. Not going to harm you. He just wants the best for your life. That's it. Anybody else? Father, I just want to honor you today. And I thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, your son. And I thank you, Father, for giving us the best you could give us. And I thank you, Father, for your love towards us when we don't deserve it. We can't earn it because, Lord, we're so sinful at times. But you have chosen to lavish your love upon us. You have chosen to send the lifeboat, to send the helicopter. You've chosen us to be your children. But we have to choose. We have to say yes or no. Lord, for those that have said yes today, Lord, I pray your amazing grace and blessing upon them, Lord. Pray this will be a day and a time in their life like never before. Thank you, Lord, that they're in. Come back right now, Lord, we're in. And Lord, we unashamedly say thank you for dying for us on the cross. We say thank you, Jesus, that we're looking forward to the day when you will return. You're coming back. Lord, that's going to be a great day for us. We love you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be obedient like Simeon. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in the way we live our lives. Help us to be good Christians. Help us to be people that really reflect Jesus. Help us to be good parents and good husbands and wives and friends and daughters and sons. Help us to reflect Jesus in our life. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome here now. And we thank you for what you're doing. And we thank you for all that you mean to us. And we thank you for your wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying in this place, Lord, we want more of your presence here. We want more of you. We have a hunger and a thirst for more of you because we know without you we have nothing. But with you we have everything. So, Father, thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for your love and your presence. Thank you for this dedication. And thank you for people like Simeon and Mary and Joseph. Give us great examples for us to follow. So, Lord, we commit our way to you and we bless your holy name. Amen.